Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Brady, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. Thanks for having me on, Zach.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So let me start you off with Notre Dame, Ohio State. All eyes this weekend are on Kyle McCord to see what he's going to look like up against Notre Dame. What type of performance do you think the Ohio State quarterback will give us on Saturday?
Well, I don't think it's so much about Kyle McCord. I think it's more about the offensive line for Ohio State and really the running backs led by Travion Henderson. You know, I think that group is going to do the best they can to try to take the pressure off of Kyle McCord so he doesn't have to win it with his arm. I mean, remember, this is a Notre Dame defense that only gave up 21 points to Ohio State last year. That was their lowest output, and they've gotten deeper and they've gotten better. And so I think it's a tall task to then ask a guy, Kyle McCord, in his first year starting to go on the road to South Bend and try to be able to dice up a defense that's been really stingy so far this season. Maybe not so much tested, but potentially have to go, you know, throw for throw with a guy like Sam Hartman, who's one of the most prolific quarterbacks we've seen out of the ACC and now doing the same thing at Notre Dame so far. So I think it's going to be more about, you know, Ohio State and if they can run the football, and if they can't, and they have to rely on Kyle McCord, that could be a tall order, even as talented as they are on the outside of wide receiver.
Yeah, I know when we always talk about these games, and you know it better than anybody, we all talk about the quarterbacks, right? I started off with Kyle McCord. You, of course, talk about Sam Hartman. But the last 2 years with Ohio State, when they were exposed up against Michigan, they just got beat up in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and then the running backs for Michigan just took care of them. Like, when I look at Notre Dame, I can't wait to see what type of game Audric Estime has, because the first few weeks of the season, he's looked like a stud, and I want to see if Ohio State could slow him down.
Yeah, and they've really got a stable of backs, even behind Audric Estime. You know, when you're looking at, like, Love, their freshman, you'll see him a little number 12, he gets out there. And there's really five backs that you'll kind of rotate through and see. Audric Estime actually leads the country right now in total yards as a running back, but they've got a great group. They obviously mix them in, kind of play to their strengths. The offensive line probably never gets enough credit. I mean, if you look at Joe Alt, he's arguably the best left tackle in the country. You know, there's a few other people that might be in the conversation for that, but he's amazing. Blake Fisher at the other side, amazing. Zeke Coral, and then inside at center is great. The two guards are inexperienced, but, you know, for the most part, they've really been able to pound and physically dominate teams thus far. I think this is going to be by far and away their greatest challenge really this entire season. I mean, this Ohio State defensive front is sound. They're solid. They're probably best suited up front in the interior. There's no Chase Youngs on the edge. However, the tackles will be tested. I mean, this is the best defensive front Notre Dame's seen yet to date. So it's going to be fascinating to see how Notre Dame goes about trying to run the football. I wouldn't be shocked if you don't see Sam Hartman keeping the football a little bit more too, utilizing some of his legs as well.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 no confidence, 10 most confidence you've ever had, how confident are you that Notre Dame will get the job done?
10. I mean, I saw this team week zero up close and personal in Dublin, Ireland. And granted, it wasn't so much about being there for them playing Navy. It was just seeing the team and seeing the size, the depth they have really in the trenches, looking at their skill positions. They're as long and as athletic and as skillful as I've seen in my lifetime. So this is a group that's been – they've recruited well. They've developed well. They've kind of been primed now to try to have that breakthrough. And I think Sam Hartman's the guy that's now opening so many things up for them on the outside, a wide receiver, where they've had talent. They just haven't been able to have someone who can really stretch the field vertically and then really give them that. And they've got a quarterback now that can do that. I mean, it's been a long time since the Notre Dame team has had this much talent on one roster. I think it's going to surprise a lot of Ohio State people. And you know, you mentioned – how Ohio State's matched up versus Michigan. This group feels very similar to Michigan as far as how this team is built. They're still built through the running game, dominate you physically, but sound, solid defense. They can get pressure. They can get turnovers. But now they've got the ability to make the big plays, too, with the quarterback, very similar to how Michigan can do it. So we'll see where Ohio State's at, because this is going to be the closest thing they'll face before they have to go up to Ann Arbor and have to play the Wolverines.
So how far can Notre Dame take it this year? Because when you say 10 out of 10 confidence they're going to beat Ohio State, that's a pretty big claim. And I like Notre Dame this weekend, let me add. But, you know, this team at the end of the year, how do you think we're talking about the Fighting Irish?
Yeah, I think they're going to be potentially a college football playoff contender. I mean, the biggest question is if they do win this one, you know, the USC game is going to be the biggest USC game probably since I was there back in 05. Yeah. Now, granted, I mean, you're not talking about a team that was on a 27-game win streak and won back-to-back national championships, but they've got the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. They're an offensive juggernaut. They've gotten better on defense, too, especially through the transfer portal. They've got six guys, basically, who have been starters that they got through the portal this year. So USC is a much better team and much more poised to try to make a run at the college football playoff. And I think if you get through that game, you know, based on how Clemson looks so far, even though that game's down in Clemson, South Carolina, you know, the schedule, it's not easy. I mean, Duke, now they're on the road. That's a tough game. Louisville's on the road. That's a tough game. But I think they've got a shot, you know, of being that team that I think makes it in if they can go unscathed. If they drop one, your fate's not in your hands anymore. You're hoping then that you're going up against, you know, potentially two-loss conference champions. That's the only way you can really assure yourself potentially a shot. But with their strength of schedule, I think it's going to play out pretty well. That they'll be in the mix at the end of the year.
Brady Quinn here with us. So Clemson is vulnerable. Florida State's clearly a better football team. You know, Clemson's been the standard in the ACC, 7 out of the last 8 years winning the conference. Is Florida State going to take care of them pretty good this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's crazy to think, too, that line before the season started, I want to say it was, you know, Clemson, I think, given 7 or 4, whatever it is. You know, now you've got Florida State. I believe they're going there, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They're given 1.5 or whatever it is now. I mean, the tough thing for Clemson is they just don't have the offensive firepower on the outside. Will Shipley's a fantastic back. They also have a stable of backs. But, you know, Dabo hasn't bought into the transfer portal, and NIL is big as some of the other schools, and I think that's hurt them, at least in recruiting or potentially supplementing their roster to be able to find some of those dynamic playmakers they're accustomed to having on the outside. And you look at Florida State, I mean, they went and got Keelan Coleman from Michigan State. He's had a huge impact. They've already got a big target in Johnny Wilson. They got Shaheem Bell from South Carolina at tight end. Those guys are really tough to match up with, and especially when you combine, you know, that with the rushing attack for Florida State and Jordan Travis's mobility. So I don't feel confident that Clemson's going to be able to go, you know, blow for blow Florida State if they start, you know, scoring some points and it becomes a track meet on the field. I think that's my big concern there for Clemson.
Brady Quinn here with us. Big noon kickoff, which is sensational. There'll be Oklahoma, Cincinnati this week. When we get to Ole Miss, Alabama, it's been quarterback roulette for the Crimson Tide through the first 3 weeks of the season. Now they're going back to Jalen Milroe. They're going up against Ole Miss this weekend. 3:30 p.m. Eastern is kickoff there on CBS. What does the Alabama offense look like this week if you had to take a stab at it?
A lot of running the football. You know, if you're looking at Ole Miss right now, they're getting about 350 yards a game so far, and they really haven't played the toughest opponents. About half that's on the ground. So I think you're going to see a lot of running the football. Jalen Milroe will obviously be part of that. And they'll sprinkle in and try to build some more concepts to the things he feels comfortable with. Look, everyone's going to make a big deal about what happened last week with USF. I think that was a game that Alabama felt it was very winnable for them. And if they were ever going to try to give a dress rehearsal to Tyler Buckner, who transferred there, or to Ty Simpson, who lost out in the quarterback battle, that was the game to do it. And so we're all going to make a big deal about, you know, hey, you know, Milroe's a part of it. They benched them all stuff. It wasn't that. I think they wanted to give these guys some live game reps. You don't have preseason in college football. This is a quarterback battle that dragged on to the start of the season. And that was the game that they selected to try to give those guys a shot. Clearly, that's not the answer. So they go with Milroe now. I have no reservations whatsoever about Bama. I think there's been an extreme overreaction to what we saw last week. And I think this is one where Alabama's going to take care of business. Their defense has been the most consistent piece for them. I know Lane Kiffin's had success versus, you know, Nick Saban defense in the past, but, you know, Jackson Dart had to carry this team last week running the football. I just don't know that they have the dynamic playmakers on the outside like we've been accustomed to seeing in years past, the Jonathan Mingos, the A.J. Browns, you know, et cetera. So I think that's where they may be lacking a little bit, and this is one where Alabama takes care of business.
talking to Brady Quinn right now. UCLA, Utah, if Cam Rising plays, I think they're going to make a decision on it tomorrow. It's a big plus for Utah, even though they're 3-0. They've done a heck of a job to start off this season for the back-to-back Pac-12 champs. But what can you realistically expect from Cam Rising coming off that ACL first game back going up against UCLA?
It's a great question, Zach, because he's been, you know, practicing for the past couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
We kept thinking like maybe it was last week he was going to get a chance to play and get out there. So I'm not sure. You know, I know it's all based on the medical, you know, and the docs to clear him, but they probably want to wait till he's as close to 100% as possible. And I spoke with him before the season even started, and he led me to think that he was going to play this year and he was going to, you know, show out. Maybe this is that matchup he had circled in his rehab process. But either way, the matchup comes down to UCLA's ability to run the football against that Utah rush defense. That's always so good. Second right now in the Pac-12. You know, UCLA's running the crap out of the ball. It's a little skewed because of their last game running for about 400 yards. But Utah wants to put this game on the true freshman quarterback, Dante Moore. You know, he's a five-star recruit, highly talented kid. He's a good decision maker. He's checked every, you know, box so far. But this is that big challenge. He's a two-time Pac-12 champ. Morgan Scalley, their defensive coordinator, knows how to get pressure. He knows how to frustrate young quarterbacks, and that's really what it comes down to. If UCLA struggles to run the football, I think Utah can take care of business whether Cam Rising's there or not. Nate Johnson and Bryson Barnes have done a really good job backing up for him there.
Staying in the Pac-12, Oregon State, Washington State. This could be a fun one between DJ Uiagalelei and then also Ward. Going to be a lot of points in this one. I think people are sleeping on this Oregon State defense, but what do you think will ultimately determine the game between Oregon State and Washington State and Pullman?
Yeah, isn't it fun talking about all these Pac-12 matchups? Really,
and the conference is going away. It's crazy. It's the best it's ever been with 18 of the top 25, and the conference is dead.
Yeah, the swan song too. And I hear people saying, "Hey, if Deion would have been at CU last year, maybe that they would have worked out a TV rights deal. Who knows? Maybe they would have." But you know, Cam Ward, the quarterback for Washington State, from Incarnate Word, he's been phenomenal. Like, he's one of the best players in college football that you don't hear about because they can yell as loud as they want from Pullman and no one on the East Coast is able to see it. Hopefully people will watch this young man. He is an absolute star. And look, he's facing his biggest challenge so far this season. Oregon State's the more complete team, and you're seeing DJ Uiagalelei kind of reborn under Jonathan Smith, who, look, was a former quarterback there at Oregon State, really good offensive mind. I just think Oregon State is going to be too much for him to ask. I think they'll be able to run the football. DJ Useful is really comfortable within the system, and defensively, it's just too tall of a task. So tight game, but I think Oregon State will take care of business versus Washington State.
I think it's good also when you're trying to get the East Coast fan involved in Oregon State, Washington State. This is 7 p.m. Eastern kickoff on Fox. Last thing I'll ask you in terms of the games this weekend, we know the biggest story in the sport right now is Coach Prime with Colorado. They have their biggest task yet going to Eugene, going up against the Ducks, who are a sensational team with Dan Lanning and Bo Nix. Right now, Oregon's a 21-point favorite. Earlier in the week, I plus the 21 points. I just think it's too many points. I expect Oregon to win the game, but I just have too much respect for Colorado to think that they're going to lose this game by 22 or more.
Yeah, we've seen it in the past 3 weeks, and Shedeur Sanders is an absolute star at the quarterback position. And when you've got a guy who can distribute the football, be as accurate as he is, as poised as he is, and the ability to make plays like he did last week, a 98-yard drive, really to help take them into overtime. I mean, he's always going to give you a shot. And this is going to be Oregon's, you know, really biggest test so far this year. So it's going to be a track meet. I think both teams will be able to score some points. Eventually, though, as long as Oregon doesn't shoot themselves in the foot like TCU did week one or Nebraska did week two, you know, they should be able to manhandle CU in the trenches. And that's where, you know, they'll be able to get pressure on Shedeur Sanders. They'll be able to, you know, obviously run the football at will if they want. And I think that's the battle that CU is up against is these next 2 weeks. It's the talent of obviously what they're playing with that can match them, because obviously Xavier Weaver and Jimmy Horn Jr. will be the kind of the star of the highlights. Michael Harrison will play more now with the injury to Travis Hunter, the lacerated liver. So Harrison will play more at the tight end spot for CU. And you saw that at the end of last week's game. But, you know, teams can match up evenly with their skill. It's really about the trenches. And that's where, you know, the Oregons, the USCs are just that much better up front, where it's hard to imagine that they're not going to be able to get pressure, not going to be able to do what they want. And ultimately, I'm with you. I think Colorado can keep it close. But it'd be miraculous to see them be able to go to Eugene and get a win. But I kind of find it hard to believe based on – what they're up against right now.
If Shador leaves Colorado after this year to go to the pros, is there? I don't think he'll surpass Caleb Williams, but could he move past Drake May in some of these mock drafts, in your opinion?
You know, maybe. I mean, like, as far as the mock drafts go, sure. I'm sure someone's going to throw that out there. As far as what the teams think.
Well, in Brady Quinn's mock draft, let's go.
I mean, I would say I have him right up there with them. I mean, obviously, you want to see him play a little bit more this year, too. But, look, he checks all the boxes. I mean, he's got the prototypical size. He's extremely accurate, in particular downfield, which is, you know, really what the game's become at the next level, is all the vertical passing games. So, you know, that combined with the athleticism, combined with the fact he's a good decision maker, you know, he's right there, you know, after those guys. I think Caleb Williams is on an island on his own. That guy is just he's an alien. You know, he's that talented of a quarterback. He probably should win the Heisman 2 years in a row. I don't know if they're going to give it to him or not, but he's that damn good. You know, Drake May somewhere after that. He hasn't looked quite as good this year as I think people felt about him last year. And Shador's kind of flew up on the scene. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a debate to be made between those two. And then, obviously, there's some others that I think we're going to throw in the mix when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I'll be curious. Yeah, we're talking about Michael Penix Jr. at the end of this year. Because, personally, I have Washington Brady winning the Pac-12. I feel like we all know that they're a good team. But when it comes to winning the Pac-12, just people are looking elsewhere this year, whether it's USC, you know, Colorado, Oregon, and maybe even Utah for the third straight year.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, Utah gets no love. All they do is just keep going out there and physically beating you up and winning football games, winning Pac-12 championships. And it's like, everyone's like, well, who's going to beat USC? I'm like, I don't know. There's a lot of teams that could. I mean, it's a gauntlet for anyone in the Pac-12. It's probably why they wouldn't get a team in the playoff, because no one can survive that. I mean, you mentioned Washington. You know, the two wide receivers out there right now, their defense, I mean,
sick.
They're as good as anyone. Like that team should be probably a top six team right now, based on how they look. And Michael Penix has been phenomenal. He's helped himself in his draft stock. So, look, I gush talking about the Pac-12 because you turn on the tape, all you're watching is great quarterback play at the college level, so it's a ton of fun. But it's going to be fascinating to see how the next few weeks play out. And I feel bad, but in the final year, it might be the best year for the Pac-12, but they might even play themselves out of being a part of the playoff.
All right, last thing I'll ask you, Brady Quinn, from a broadcasting standpoint. You know how special game day is. Now you're on Big Noon, and you guys have done a great job. This weekend you'll be at Cincinnati for Oklahoma, Cincinnati. To hear people now say that they think Big Noon, and so I've heard some people say this, Big Noon is a better show than game day. When you hear those compliments and those comments, just how does it make you feel, and how do you kind of look at that?
Well, it's a huge compliment. I mean, look, game day has been around forever. You know, it was the staple that a lot of people grew up turning on. And, you know, all we've tried to do is provide what we feel like is, you know, our best form or presentation of college football, and trying to have fun, educate people, entertain people, and really talk about the game that's been so good to us and the game that we love. And so if we're able to change people's habits out there, where when they tune in on Saturdays, they're tuning in to Big Noon kickoff at 10 a.m. Eastern time, you know, awesome. Like that's our goal, obviously, is we want to try to be out there to reach as many people as possible with our way of communicating our love for the game of college football. So come join us 10 a.m. Eastern every Saturday on Fox. You can obviously, you know, see the whole crew having some fun. I mean, last week was like a con. I mean, we had Lil Wayne out there.
Sick.
Brock was there. It was nuts. I've never been a part of anything like
that. It was the world's biggest frat party. That's the way that I described it.
That's one way of putting it. I mean, I feel bad for the kids. I'm not sure they were all able to make it to the late kick at 8 p.m., I think, local time there.
A lot of naps during the middle of the day. There's no doubt about it. You wake up at probably 7 and go, oh, got an hour to get ready for the game. Anyway, Brady Quinn, keep on kicking ass. Always appreciate when you join us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.